Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Mark, just let our listeners know about what you do and don't do.
Okay, well, I publish VRTrader.com, and that's sort of a shortcut for the official name, Leibovit VR Newsletters. I am not a financial advisor, nor do I generate any financial advice. So we publish and have been publishing for 43 years, and if you're trying to get a good sense of economics, of market direction and so forth, some individual investment suggestions in terms of, you know, where money seems to be moving, then subscribe.
Mark, the U.S. government officially, I guess, runs out of money June 1st, according to Janet Yellen. Is the debt ceiling a real issue, or is it going to get fixed and something we shouldn't worry about?
You know, that's really a tough call. I can't hardly believe we've gone through the so-called debt issue crisis over the years so many times.
Yeah.
My hunch is it'll look really bad, and then they'll fix it at the last second. But, you know, the times are really tumultuous right now, in my opinion. I mean, where M2 money supply is actually in the worst shape that it was since the Great Depression. We've got bank failures still occurring. We still have people withdrawing money from banks. Lending is getting tougher. Refinancing of big real estate investments and office properties the next couple of years is going to become very, very difficult unless suddenly interest rates go the other way, which could always happen if there's some, you know, dramatic event. I mean, you know, the Fed could change on the dime and loosen money if there's some crisis or war, or, you know, like today we, you know, heard that story about that drone blowing up over the Kremlin, you know, and the market took a little nosedive. I mean, anything could happen with these guys who are really inconsistent, who can make change directions on a dime. Alan Greenspan was notorious for that back in the 1980s. You know, we used to compare him to a New York taxi cab driver where he would slam on the accelerator and then slam on the brakes and back and forth. I mean, we're dealing with people who really don't know what they're doing. I mean, that's really the bottom line. And the Federal Reserve should have been abolished a long time ago, which I've written about for decades. Since 1913, they've done more destruction than help, and if anything, have complicated situations, including raising rates, for example, back during the Great Depression, which was the worst and stupidest thing they could have done. So you're asking me, you know, the national debt, whether they're going to increase it or not. I mean, at some point they're going to have to, I suppose. You know, and I don't think these guys are smart enough to suddenly come up with some alternative to that. There's been all these kind of rumors about way they could fix it, but it could feel a lot worse before it gets better, is what I'm saying. I know Janet Yellen made some comment yesterday or the day before about June 1st being an important time frame that we would have to take some action, and after that it becomes, you know, more slippery. That's the least of my concerns. I mean, it's all it's like what you read and you hear is BS. I mean, it really, what it comes down to, what Jay Powell says, what he doesn't say, what they do and what they don't do behind the scenes. It's just amazing to me. So right now, money seems to be flowing, believe it or not, into treasury bonds because people are looking for some safety. which is why the Treasury bonds start to rally, which sort of brings interest rates down a little bit, which is sort of crazy. As the Fed is raising the short-term rates, the long rates seem to be pulling off because people, as they buy bonds, they drive prices up and interest rates down on the long end. And, you know, meanwhile, you've got tightening of credit at the banks. Why? Because a lot of people have pulled money out of the banks, so they have less money to lend. And it's just not a question of raising rates. We know in Japan, for example, they're keeping rates at, you know, near or at zero. They could really care less what we're doing over here. We'll see what unfolds this summer. I'm a bear, as you know. I've gotten pretty fuzzy in the last few months. And for the time being, I guess, unless there's some extraordinary event, we're going to remain cautious. Unrelated necessarily to the money supply, credit situation. I mean, we just saw all this coming, and there's no discussion of all the other geopolitical stuff. I mean, when this Kremlin thing happened today, I said, "Oh, people realize there's other things going on out there besides what Jay Powell at the Fed is doing or not doing." Long-winded response. There's a big Band-Aid somewhere, Jim. They'll probably find it at the very last minute, but it could drag on through the summer.
Well, if that video of what happened over the Kremlin is real, the U.S. or the Ukraine has the lamest drones in the world.
Right.
It was basically a firework.
Yeah. Something could have been just a local prankster, too, right?
Yes, exactly. They're saying that's probably what it was. But again, the whole thing could be fake. Nowadays, you never know. It used to be seeing is believing.
I assume everything is fake, honestly. When I turn on financial TV or I read the news, I assume I'm never getting the truth. The truth is somewhere which we're not told, and that's been the case my entire life. It's just you can't believe the news. It's different sources that you're in the news business. You've done this for decades. There are sources that are reliable, some are non-reliable. Some don't even report the news. So, you know, you got to do your own work. You got to look at your own stuff. And one of the most honest ways of doing that is, but I know it sounds, you know, left field for most people, is just looking at the markets and looking at the charts and just seeing what's happening. Because the market, in my opinion, for decades, has been the closest thing we have in life to the crystal ball. Because it shows the flow of money. You know, money's always looking for safety. And you can see when money is flowing around the world from one country, one investment to another. And, you know, there's no surprises when crude oil suddenly turns up or turns down. You see stuff coming. So the money, sort of, as you know, it's naive to say it if you don't, you know, believe it, but you should say it. It's, you know, the money rules the world. And but you see it in the charts. You see stuff. You see over-optimism, you see over-pessimism, and you see where money is flowing, and that sort of tells you, you know, what's happening. You'll see money go into defense stocks, for example, you know, ahead of the fact that we suddenly have a war somewhere. You know, we see buyers coming in. You know, we'll see money, you know, move into gold or out of gold, and you wonder what's going on. So, it's interesting. That's how I sort of look at it. You know, you listen to the news. What does that tell you? Well, does it help you protect your assets? Does it tell you how to, you know, and really what it comes down to it is if you're wiped out, what good is having good news or bad news if you don't act on it and do what you need to do? So that's sort of the way I think it's always a very myopic way of looking at things. No, I don't think so. I think, you know, what this is all about is, protecting your assets and your family and your source of income, and relying on what you hear or see on TV is not going to help you. It's just going to get you into trouble because they're usually right at the wrong time. So,
cannabis, is this renewing? Are you seeing renewed interest there?
A little bit. It's sort of interesting. I mean, a stock like Canopy Growth, which was originally Weed, which went public in Canada, you know, back in 2014 or 15, it was $1 a share. and it went as high as $58, went back down to $20, back up to $58. Now it's back to a buck again. So that intrigues me. You know, it's when they don't want it, they throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's still potential legislation here in the U.S. In fact, there's some non-Canadian names that are U.S. cannabis stocks that are actually making money. A couple of them came out with some positive earnings reports the other day, and they're really cheap. And there's an ETF that follows those, and I mentioned that in the newsletter. So if you sign up, you'll see it. They're in the cellar, and I'm just wondering how low can they go beyond here? And I don't think a lot. You know, maybe percentages, obviously, if it drops from a buck to 80 cents or something like that. But, you know, this is the time you start looking at stuff. And I see little, there's some nibbling going on. There's some volume coming in. And if it's the beginning of a big move, and frankly, the way things are going in this world, Jim, with the banking crisis, with a potential crash in the stock market, with the uncertainty with election, I think we all need some marijuana just to stay above board.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's your view on gold right now?
Well, it's acting well. The problem with gold is, you know, if there's a financial meltdown, you know, they throw the baby out with the bathwater. We've seen this happen. You know, people have to liquidate assets. They need cash. And then they have to sell their gold. And gold could drop. You know, it doesn't necessarily go up if there's a financial crisis. We saw this even the crash way back in 1987 going at that time. I remember how it didn't perform the way we thought it would perform. So that's your risk here, that if there's really a meltdown in the financial market, which is a risk, the selling could come in there. But for the time being, it's holding up because of the banking crisis, and the powers that be are letting it stay up because I feel the market, the gold market, has been manipulated for the longest time. It's not my own research, so government tends to suppress the price of gold. But it got up to $2,075 an ounce. Intraday today, didn't stay above that number. That would have been sort of a breakout if it stayed there. I think it was closed around 2055. And of course, I'm quoting it in U.S. dollars. In other currencies, it's been in record highs for a while. So, if it could stay above that level, and we don't have immediately a financial crisis that forces people to sell it, it could run to 23, 24. 100, I suppose, this year. So it's acting in well. The only other thing I might point out is that there are a couple exceptions, but some of the gold shares, particularly the indexes, haven't broken out or as high relative to gold as they should be. So we call that a negative divergence. Some, you know, should be stronger, as you know, usually they lead the gold itself. You know, they don't lag it, as what seems to be happening. There are a few exceptions that did break out, but for the most part, they're not acting as well as in recent decades they have acted in this type of environment. So I'm keeping a position. You know, we're keeping positive and keeping a position just in case you really break through that 2075 level. We run up for a couple hundred dollars an ounce here, and there's certainly enough negative things happening in the financial circles that it could happen. Whether it continues beyond that, we're just going to have to watch. But my gut feeling is if it breaks out, runs big, it might be time to take some profits, because if we do experience a meltdown in the overall financial markets, they may sell some of that, and that might pull back as well. So I wouldn't get greedy or stupid about it. It's not going to run forever, as no market runs forever. But we're in there for now, and we've got our fingers crossed.
President Biden suggesting a 30% tax on the energy used to mine Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. Any chance of Congress passing that?
You know, I'm not so much concerned about the other cryptos. Bitcoin seems to be okay. We still like the Bitcoin itself. I don't know. You know, I can't give you a reading whether it would pass or not. They're fooling around with something they really don't understand. The cryptos, Bitcoin in particular, these are bastions of safety away from government, away from currency, away from the other markets. That's why they were created, and that's why they exist. And I wonder what kind of control they would really have anyway. You know, there was a period of time, if you remember, in the last couple of years where China banned Bitcoin, yeah. and suddenly they changed their mind about it. You know, so, you know, a lot had to do with physically mining the coin and the amount of energy that was needed to do it and so forth and so on. I think government doesn't know what it's doing. I don't think it'll pass. And if it does, the markets will probably ignore it. They'll trade it somewhere else. It's like, if my money will flow to where money is happy and safe. So if they ban it in the U.S., they'll trade it in Europe, or they'll trade it in China, or Singapore, or Japan, or some other place. But it's like saying banning investing in gold or investing in real estate, or forcing you to turn all your cash over because the government only wants to have a digital currency and doesn't want you to own any cash. They could say a lot of things, but what will actually happen, that really, you know, time will tell. So I'm not optimistic that they'll pass anything like that. I mean, they're trying to close down TikTok, for example, you know, because of supposed Chinese infiltration into our privacy. Well, is that such a good idea? Because that's limiting free speech, you know, wherever it may come from. Some people, you know, if you believe that all your emails or all your messages or your phone and everything is secure and untapped and unmonitored, you're naive. So they can ban TikTok this week and try to ban something else next week. So government interference is something that I'm totally against our freedoms. Less government, the better. The less Federal Reserve, the better. The less IRS, the better. The less the whole kit and caboodle, the better. Because government does nothing but mess things up, as you know.
What's going on our geocosmic front? I know we've had a lot of solar flares, spectacular northern lights as far south as where you live.
Yeah, we have some CMEs that are ejecting. That's coronal mass ejections. And there's some articles today. If you go to the spaceweather.com, there's one that exploded on May 4th, and according to the article, the images they show and so forth indicate that we could get some, you know, geomagnetic impact here. So they're sort of worried the next, you know, couple of days there might be something going on here on Earth. There's something always going on. I mean, shortwave radio enthusiasts see things cut off all the time because of solar events. So not everything is reported anyway. So there is some solar flare activity right now. There's also some interesting else going on unrelated to the sun. We actually have some meteors coming into Earth from Halley's Comet now. People don't really track this stuff, but it's called the Aquanid meteor shower, and that is generated from Halley's Comet, believe it or not. So they're predicting 10 to 30 meteors per hour expected the nights of May 6th and May 7th coming up. So if you look to the sky, you know, that's also going on out there. You know, I'm real partial to stuff like this. And we did mention the lunar cycle, for example, today with the full moon, the fifth, and, markets tend to do something into the lunar cycle. So what's it been doing? It's been selling off. So maybe we'll hit a little trading bottom the next day or so because of the lunar cycle. And, you know, I'm still focusing on, speaking of the geocosmic, you know, very people, it's actually zero talk about this. You know, you've got the summer solstice coming up mid-June, which is not that far away. Last year, if you recall, I think it was June 16th, 17th, the stock market hit a big bottom within 3 days of the summer solstice. So, you know, I'm watching that as well to see if it's going to be another low or high in the market. We had predicted March as a possible low, if you recall, based on the vernal equinox at that time. So people say, what the hell does the planetary seasons or the moon or any of these things have to do with the markets? Well, the answer is it's called cycles, and the market tends to follow stuff that, you know, people don't pay attention to or care about or think that we're impervious to on some level. You know, when you're in the middle of Turkey during an earthquake a few weeks ago, you realize that the planet has a lot of control over your life, love in areas that you can't ever imagine. So you know, stuff like this is going on. Sort of interesting time, and for, you know, intermediate to longer term cycle enthusiasts, you know, there is, I mentioned this before. You've got the 4-year presidential cycle. Nothing is 100%, but it tends to bottom, you know, in this particular cycle somewhere between September of this year and March of next year, and tends to be a low in the market. When that occurs, then you get a positive bounce out of that. So we'll see where the, assuming the presidential 4-year cycle, we do have, you know, I'm talking, of course, for the U.S. presidential cycle, you know, coming up. So, you know, we got to watch the technical indicators and everything around that. In theory, it should present some type of buying opportunity. Of course, we could have a crash, stock market crash, and that could be your buying opportunity up to that point, but something to keep an eye on. So besides the geocosmic and the solar and the coronal mass injections and the, you know, the meteorites and so forth going on, there's just interesting stuff to pay attention to. And it's always surprises, Jim. I'll just conclude, you know, with, you know, we're talking about the Fed, the banks, and all this stuff. And as I mentioned, top of the interview, is suddenly a drone blows up over the Kremlin. I mean, it's always the outlier events. You know, COVID, I guess, was a big example. You know, things that you least expect, or the balloon that's flying over the U.S. that distracts everybody's attention. I keep looking for the outlier events, and I think there are more coming. And there could be some really wild things, like you wake up and like we did back in 9/11, where suddenly the World Trade Center is being blown up. I remember being in Denver at the time for a meeting and just turning on the TV and talk about an outlier event. I mean, there's more coming, and we just have to, you know, be prepared that that's what our world is like. You know, it's not only generated by what the Federal Reserve does or doesn't do, you know. So I would remain defensive for a while. I think we're in a tricky period. Maybe they'll pull out a rally here into the summer a little bit, but I think there's more surprises ahead for those who are patient.
Mark, always fun chatting with you. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy you're having some fun along with me. Let's start watching those meteorites from Halley's Comet the next couple of days. That should be fun.
I would watch them, except I just looked at the forecast for Vancouver. Cloudy with rain. Always, whenever we have a fascinating thing happening in the sky, it's cloudy with rain here.
Oh, okay. Well, it's clear here in the Phoenix now, but who knows? We might get something in the next couple of days, too. But anyway, just something to pay attention to. Should be fun. Thank you for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. You can find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook, and you can find us on YouTube at Talk Digital Network. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.